There are certain scriptures that speak very clearly to services such as these, where we remember our mortality, where we remember our sinfulness, where we remember that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and our reward for that should be death. And one of those scriptures, we heard one at noontime in Isaiah 58, and one that we heard at 6 o'clock this morning and now this evening is Psalm 51. And again, this psalm was written by King David, and every Ash Wednesday, if you've been here over the last few years, you've noticed that we have read Psalm 51 as the first scripture, and then the second is different, and normally we speak from the second one. But Psalm 51 was written by King David after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan in his sin with Bathsheba. So let's hear Psalm 51 as David pours out his heart, as we ought to do the same before God. Psalm 51, we'll be reading through verse 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, and according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and you're blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Here ends the first scripture reading. The second scripture for this evening comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 5, and verses 1 and 2. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God, just as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I would guess that most of Strasbourg is hunkered down waiting for the storm that may be hitting us in the next hour or so. So just by the fact that you are out here this evening, you are different. And you may have already known that. It's difficult, though, isn't it, to find ways to be different in the world? it seems as if we're almost programmed to toe the line and to kind of go along with what everyone else may be doing and just making sure that we don't step out of line in certain things and in certain ways. When we lived in Russia, there was a way in which the government made sure that you weren't different. And especially if you were a journalist, I had a couple folks that I knew who reported in the wrong way on certain stories, and they were able to spend a week to 10 days in a mental institution, and that's how the Russian government made sure that you would not be different, that you would stay the same. And if you were different, especially if you were different in a way that you were critical, well, then you would hear about it and you would feel about it. So whether you realize it or not, you're being different today, but you don't have to worry about your safety or the next 10 days of your life. When you come forward to receive these ashes today, you will be receiving something that will make you proclaim to the world that you march to a different drummer. You're going to be wearing something that will make you physically different. If you go to the grocery store tonight to get ready for the storm, there will be people in the store who will see you and will try to wipe that smudge off of your forehead, or will come up and say something to you, and you'll realize, oh, that's right. I forgot to take that off. Don't take it off. Keep it tonight. Wake up in the morning and change your pillowcase, because you'll need to. But if you run into people tonight, they're going to ask you questions. What is that? Why do you have that on your head? And you're going to have an opportunity, and you're going to be given a chance to tell people why you're different. You're going to be able to tell people why you have a cross on your forehead on Ash Wednesday. What an opportunity to be different. And in a way that allows you to also proclaim the gospel to people who would never, never expect it. Now, Ash Wednesday traditionally, as we know, is the start of our Lenten season. In this time of year, we remember the great sacrifice that Christ made for us in His becoming one like us, in His life of service, in His criminal death on the cross, and finally leading to His resurrection. Can you think of anyone in history who was more different and was more out of place in His society and in His culture than our Savior Jesus Christ? And in that first century, if you were different the way that Jesus was different, then you would end up the way that Jesus ended up. There was a cost, a very grave cost for being different. So when Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 5, and he tells us very clearly in verse 1, that we are to be imitators of God. That's His command. It's not really written in a way that gives us an option. He tells us, be imitators of God. So if the view that we have of God is our Savior, Jesus Christ, is He telling us, be imitators in such a way that we go through the same suffering and we go through the same kind of death that Jesus went through? I don't think that's what He's saying. Because then right after verse 1, we find in verse 2, the description that He gives us of what it means to be an imitator of God. You see, that's the sermon title. We're commanded to be imitators of God. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 tells us what it means. It says, live in love. Live in love. It doesn't say anything about the way we have to think or the way our theology ought to be. It says how we ought to live. And our lives ought to be a reflection of that love that Jesus has for us. Being an imitator of God means being able to live in love. Those who live in love are just different. They are. They make decisions not based upon what people will say or think, but based upon what God would want. People who live in love have put away their old life in living for themselves and have decided to live for Christ. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote in Maud, "Ah, for a man to arise in me, that the man I am may cease to be." Psalm 51, you hear that same call from King David, where he is beseeching God to change him, to create a new heart in him. He asks to make him an imitator of God and God's loving presence here on this earth. So this Lenten season, when you leave this evening and then throughout these next weeks, you're going to leave at least tonight with a mark on your forehead that's going to distinguish you from the rest of the people around you. I know most of you are going to go home and not go out. I dare you, if it's not snowing too hard, I dare you to go in some place where there's people. It can be Market Basket. Market Basket is going to be swarmed with 30 people, maybe. But I dare you to go to some place where you know you're going to find people. And what we find in these verses is a recognition that our lives ought to be imitations of God as we see reflected in the life of Christ. This life that was so dramatically different. The life of a Christian, the life of a First Presbyterian ought to be different, and sometimes we don't like to make that journey. For many of us, we would rather blend in. It's easier that way. Ash Wednesday is a day that we move out of our comfort zones because we just can't blend in. We're distinguished. There's something on us that makes us look different. And hopefully there's something in us that makes us live differently. May God bless you and keep you and let His face shine upon you, so that we may all live our lives as imitators of Christ from this day forward. Amen.